Hello and welcome to So No Kids,
the podcast designed by women without kids for women without kids.
This is a place for an open and honest discussion about how it feels to live life as a child-free woman.
We kick off our interviews by speaking with Kate about not being able to have children, looking for purpose, finding your people, and tactless gynecologists. Welcome, Kate, to So No Kids. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
I'm really, really good to see you. So we're going to kick things off with our first introductory question, which is, how did you come to be a woman without kids?
So I'm 40. I think I've probably always had a bit of a habit in my life of not being particularly great at sort of future planning and just was, I guess, wandering through my 30s. It was not a great relationship, which I should have ended much sooner. And then COVID came along and I half-heartedly thought I might want children, but hadn't really delved into whether it wasn't something that I felt really deeply in my soul. And often found myself talking myself out of wanting children because I thought it would be too hard. I thought you have to have sort of immense financial security. I haven't always had the best health. And so all these worries and excuses, I think, made me not choose that path in a really committed way, I guess. And then last year, I started experiencing lots of symptoms that when I Googled them, they only really spat out menopause. And after going to see my GP and luckily having healthcare through my work, I was diagnosed with something called premature ovarian insufficiency, which basically means I can't have kids and that I'm going into a sort of early menopause. So that decision, I guess, has also been taken away from me. And I realise I'm 40 now and, you know, that is a tricky time anyway. But, told even IVF wouldn't really be a goer. So, it feels like that option has been sort of taken away.
Wow. How was that to hear?
Well, it was hard to hear. It was made harder to hear by the gynecologist's delivery of the news.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think she's actually regarded as one of the best in the biz, in the gynae biz. But when she told me, because I'd been experiencing all of these symptoms and my doctor's been great. So there's something called a follicle stimulating hormone. And when that's relentlessly really high, it's basically, now I might get this wrong.
So okay. Disclaimer.
It's sort of like this. That hormone helps you to sort of push out your egg every month. And when there's nothing there to push out, it goes into overdrive. Yeah. And then that brings about a bunch of symptoms. So then when I went to see the gynecologist, I think maybe I just didn't really know what to expect, that I was hoping it was just stress or something. And then she was like, pop me on the bed, pop the wand scanner thing at me, and just sort of right there and then said, oh yeah, you can't have kids, and I wouldn't
wow.
bother with IVF.
No.
And so I got really upset and I was crying and she was like, oh, so did you want kids? Because I think she'd asked me at the beginning if I was in a relationship and stuff. And I was like, it's kind of not the point. I just wasn't expecting this.
No. On the table while she's
yes,
doing the examination.
With the thing still at me.
Oh, that's horrendous.
At least let me get back into my trousers.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get dressed. Wow.
It's a life-changing thing they're
yes.
about to tell you. Like, mm-hmm. it's really besides the point if you're in a relationship or
yeah.
even if you're like, I don't know. Like, for me, I don't think I've ever wanted children, but if someone sat me down and said, well, you can't have them, I'm sure that would open up a whole
yes.
world of ideas and things that I would not have expected to come. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's quite an overwhelming thing
yes.
to then have to deal with.
I always thought I think I would love to have a family if I was with the right person, but I knew I didn't have the support to do it solo. I definitely knew that. So that was something that I 100% knew, that I would find it too hard to be a single parent going mm. down that route. But I love kids. I love my niece and nephews. I'm a caring, mothering person. I think it's something that once that got taken away from me, I did feel, at first it was just the shock. And now I feel sort of year on, I am probably grieving a little bit of by having that option just taken away in such a sort of brutal way. Especially, you guys have lived in London, it feels like women have kids here. I mean, maybe not even just specifically here, but it does feel like it stretches on into your 40s. And so I'd never had any issues before with my menstrual cycle or anything. It was really only since in the last couple of years. And so it just felt, it did feel like it kind of came out of the blue.
I think we do feel like we've got that extended time. Yes. Compared to like our parents.
Totally.
You know.
And my mum had me late, and my brother.
Yeah.
And there was a history in my family of women having children in their early 40s. So maybe I even had that subconsciously going, I can put it off.
Definitely. I think what you've seen really deems what's possible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For what comes next in your life.
I was having a conversation with my therapist yesterday. We were talking about a new relationship, and she said to me, well, actually, you know, if you wanted to go on and have children. And I was thinking, I'm 41. It was interesting that she still thought that was a possibility for me. Not that I'd negated it.
Yeah.
But equally, if someone said to me today, you can't have them, I can't see how I would feel any different from you. But equally, somebody saying to me, you could have children, I was like, a bit like what you were saying, like throughout your 30s, you're like, it's not just not come my way.
Yeah.
And then when you're told actually that it's no longer a choice, it's huge.
It's of agency over your own life and body, isn't it? And you don't register that fully until it's taken away.
No.
Well, how do you feel then after it?
Being told I could have them yesterday.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like she was encouraging you?
No, I sort of feel like it was a slight undercurrent of that's what people do, you know?
Yes.
It was kind of a, if you were to think like that and you could move in together and you could have kids. And I was like, hang on a second, maybe I don't want to move in together and have kids.
Yeah.
Maybe I just want to see this man 2 to 3 times a week and have a lovely time, you know? And it's, I get a bit, I've got a bit of a bugbear about people assuming that we're all the same and we all want the same things.
Yes.
Yours.
Yeah, we just want the choice, don't we?
Exactly.
And I can understand why people want to put what's deemed normal onto everybody and assume that you want the things that most people are sort of striving for.
Mm.
But then I say most people, and actually I have lots of friends that don't have kids, both single and who have chosen that in their partnership. Mm. So I guess it's becoming less normal. Having that decision taken away from you, so anything that you want, you then suddenly see it everywhere.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I think the thing that I'm sort of struggling with now, I think I've always been someone who like wants to be in the gang. I get FOMO. I love being around people and my friends and family, etc. To then be at a life stage where you're not doing what everyone else is doing, I have been struggling with that. And I feel embarrassed saying that because it's like, oh, what? So you just want to be a sheep and be like everybody else. But to me, it's deeper and it feels like, no, it's having a female body and wanting to experience all those things that that body could experience.
Yeah.
And then experiencing all the emotional heft that comes after that. And feeling like, ooh, I'm not going to have that. So what am I going to have in place of that? I think there's lots of things that can bring meaning and purpose, and a child's obviously kind of a quick fix to getting that.
Well, it's one
maybe
quick
and
fix.
A mixed bag. Maybe.
I mean, maybe not a quick fix.
Yeah.
And a mixed bag. And I'm only, clearly, the way I'm talking, because I'm in this kind of grief stage, is that I'm only seeing the good things. And I think for a long time in my 30s, when I was avoiding the question as to whether I wanted kids, I actually only saw the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
I think we're preconditioned as well to just, like you say, like presume it's just going to happen one day and
yes.
kick that can.
I was kicking that can hard.
And like when you are able to kind of reset and be like, okay, what am I going to do instead, I think as much as that can also be a bit daunting and like,
yeah.
and at the moment where you're surrounded by people who are with toddlers and things like that, where
yeah.
it's so consuming and it
so,
does feel
yeah.
like another world. But then actually when you start thinking about what I could do instead, and there's all these different avenues that may not have been possible before that actually start to be quite enticing, I think. I don't know, there is something in that freedom. and being able to have children in your life but not have to do the hard bits, I guess.
So you've decided, obviously, not to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
What made you, led you to that decision? Because obviously you're in a relationship and in a position where you could potentially.
Yeah, and I think that actually made it more difficult because it was like, well, I've got every single domino in place to just wipe them all out and start a family. I also did therapy and I really stress tested this thought of whether or not I wanted kids. And I definitely felt, and I'm sure that was all sort of part of the process, that the therapist was kind of trying to make me change my mind. And I definitely went on a bit of a roller coaster with that. And it was one of the many reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is I wished I'd had a resource of just listening to people talk about their situations. But ultimately, it wasn't right for me. So I'm actually really happy with my decision, but it was hard. And I think another myth is that women don't have kids by choice and it's really easy. And they're just like, okay, cool. I don't want kids. Yeah. Woohoo. Mm. I'm going to have another margarita. And like, actually, I found the year of really thinking about that, even though I'd never seen myself as a mom. And, you know, I'm sure there's all sorts of other reasons, good and bad, from my own, like, growing up, that is the reason why I felt like that. Ultimately, it was still really, really difficult, even having never wanted it. And even now, I still think about exactly what you're saying, like, oh, your body, my body was made to do that, and it's never going to do that, and how do I feel about that? But ultimately, I do just feel like the decision for me has also kind of been made at this point in life. I don't see myself like U-turning. I do feel like the door has shut and I've just got to move forward and be confident that actually that wasn't meant to be for me. And I feel like that I find quite helpful.
Mm. Yes, it is. I think it's a mindset shift as well. I think the unfortunate thing about my situation is because of the hormonal stuff, like my moods haven't been great. So I'm sort of battling all these classic symptoms of anxiety and a bit of perimenopausal, I don't want to call it depression, but there's a sort of melancholy that comes over you a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to decipher in all of that how I actually feel.
Yes.
I think that's so difficult as well. And I think if I was sat here and I hadn't had that diagnosis, but I still wasn't in a position to have children, which is highly likely. I mean, I was single last year and I'm single now. So I would still not have had kids. So essentially it's the same outcome. It's just come about in two different ways. I probably, well, there would have been a hopefulness maybe on one side, but equally going through my 30s and not quite knowing, and you just alluded to, upbringings, things that, you know, the way you were brought up, things that might have happened to your parents that make you fearful about being a parent as well. They're all really important to take into consideration. And I think what's interesting is how many people don't even think about whether they want to have children or not. They literally just, and I've even had friends tell me that were like, I just thought that's what you just have to do that. And that kind of blows my mind. Maybe I know I overthink everything too deeply, but I do think it's something that you have to have quite deep thoughts about. What you do see in the rhetoric at the moment over the past few years is this anti-kids thing where I feel like people only focus on what's terrible about being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's like fucking everything. Why can't there just be a middle ground where it is both hard and rewarding? Mm. Why does it always have to be like, oh my God, fuck being a mum, that looks so hard. Or no, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me and it's cracked me open in ways I could never have imagined. Mm-hmm. It's like two things can be true at the same time, guys.
Yeah, totally.
It's the state of the world though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's one thing or the other.
Yeah.
You can, there's no, and one side doesn't talk to the other.
I hate
they just,
it.
Yeah, it's
like
just
that, that is literally the human experience, yeah. is to have both sides going on all the time for your whole life.
100%.
Me and my friend were talking about this actually a couple of weeks ago about whatever is going on in your life, it is so easy to default to what is bad and what you haven't managed to achieve.
Yeah.
Mm. And everybody does that, whether they have children or not. You really have to remind yourself of that when you're going down a negative thought spiral or you've just jumped in the self-pity pit. Like, absolutely. You just really have to remind yourself that popping out a sprog does not equal life complete, perfect happiness.
No.
And that, again, on both sides, there's difficulties. And I think for me at the moment, you guys can probably speak to this as well, and maybe also because I don't have a partner, it suddenly feels like there's this cavernous space that is my future. And then it's going, well, what am I going to fill that with?
Mm.
What am I going to fill that with? I want it to be meaningful. I want it to sort of speak to who I am as a person. But I feel completely overwhelmed. Mm. There's so much possibility.
Anything. Yeah. It could be anything.
Yeah.
That's,
which is a great privilege. I just want to caveat that.
But where do you begin?
Where do you begin?
Yeah, I get that.
Choice. I feel like
Any tips?
Do you know what?
Garden?
It's interesting.
Do you want a garden?
I feel like my garden is my maternal instinct.
Yes. I think a garden and a dog. It. But ideally I'd be sort of winning the lottery as well, so I wouldn't have to necessarily work.
Yeah.
Or you have a dog walker. Live in.
So one of the reasons that we started the podcast, which really came from Joe, really, was about creating community.
Yeah.
And one of the things for me was doing my therapist training has created this enormous community. And over the last couple of years, I've come to realise, particularly since the pandemic, when I was single and living on my own and just incredibly isolated, that actually that for me has now given me so much more hope, positivity, all those kind of words. They're not quite right, but you understand what I mean.
It's about connection, isn't it?
Exactly. About my future.
Yes.
Because it's not just about maybe what it was in my late 20s, which was a full-time, very stressful day job and then going out and socialising, because obviously all of that changes as you get a little bit older. Whereas now I have different people doing different things and I've got two different jobs, and the people and the kind of community around it is what's given me like, oh, actually, this is what the next 10 years of my life can look like.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, because thinking like in terms of what you've done in a world where you didn't have children, you've retrained as a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
You want to do a PhD.
Yeah.
You've gone part-time, moved to Brighton. And actually, I think that's a really perfect example of a very inspiring way to do something different.
Yeah. What I think is what focusing on my career really hard in my throughout my 20s and early 30s has given me is the independence and the luxury, really, to be able to make that choice to work part-time and pursue other interests and have two different communities. Because I was similar. Like I was in a relationship for 11 years until I was 31. And never really thought about having children. But then when that relationship ended, a lot of friends started having kids. And I used to call the years of my early 20s my car crash years, and it's now termed as like being feral, I think. So there was a lot of, you know, just, you know what being feral means, I don't need to describe it, throughout till I was about 35, 36. And then COVID happened, and then here we are. So it's been a bit of a journey, but none of that's involved being in a relationship. I've never been like, I really want to have children. I know women are single, who've gone through IVF and done it on their own, and that's never something that I really was like, that's
same,
not the path
same.
For me.
When I actually move the POI thing off the table and I think about what has stopped me from relentlessly pursuing an ambition to have children, because for lots of people that's what it can become in your late 20s, early 30s. I think about being a parent, well, specifically a mother, in society that we live in. And I see some of my friends and my sister-in-law who are just incredibly energetic, stoic people with incredible constitutions that manage busy jobs, children, socializing, still manage to kind of keep everything together. And I think I do have a deep knowledge of who I am, and I just don't think I'd be happy in a space where I know I would be so tired. Life would just be so frenetic. And I just don't think that I would be able to be a great mother, a great worker, and be happy. And I know that that's how, unfortunately, lots of parents feel. They're just like, wow, this is really unfair. Society is not set up to be a parent unless you've got, I don't know, family wealth or some kind of extra support going on, like family nearby to look after your kids, etc. And so basically, when I think about, would I like to have had kids or not? Do I feel sad about it? Yes, in that I feel sad that my body and life wasn't something different that meant that I would be able to do that and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it's about trying to change my mindset into acceptance of who I am. How can I be as well and healthy as possible? And then what can I pursue that brings me meaning and connection to other people, which is what you've just talked about, which is really inspiring, because I do have this sort of 5 to 10 years of rough plan that's starting to formulate in my foggy head as I kind of come out of the sadness of going, okay, we'll start writing down like what does keep coming up for you. Just make notes of that. If there's something that you're constantly thinking about, make a note of that and then start doing some courses. Like, I think what's really interesting, and you just touched on this, in your 20s and 30s, you've got your busy job, you meet great people, people that are so like-minded, they become your friends. Your life is just job and socializing and sort of exercise. And then when you move into the space where everyone starts to have children and you don't, and also like your body's changed, I've just quit drinking for 6 months, only for 6 months.
Caveat.
So then you're like, well, also then what am I filling this time with? I heard this phrase called the great scattering, which is where all your friends basically disperse, all over the country.
Not heard that before.
You can scrabble around trying to make community with your friends that already exist and all want to live in the same place. But whether that's because they've had kids and moved away, or you can't all afford to live in the same sort of place, you're sort of traveling a lot to like see the people in your life that you love. So I do also think that it's about having that strength to, I don't want to say start again, because I don't think it's dismissing everything that's already come before. But in a sense, there is you do need to form new connections and form a new community where you're not just sat overthinking about, oh, I wish I had kids, because that would answer all my problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's so important to have people that relate to what you're dealing with and what you're going through.
Yeah.
In the same way, I'm never going to relate as well to my friend telling me about what's going on with their kids as maybe another mum does. I can only get so far because it's not my lived experience. I think in the same way, it's like as we shift into a slightly different way of life, it's so lovely when, and that's not always just other women without kids, you know, there's a whole realm of people that are living slightly less conventional lives, or maybe for them they have a family, but the family nucleus isn't the most important sort of value that they live by. You know, I think we have friends as well who have a family, have kids, but they also feel the importance of friends within that, from a sort of left-wing perspective, even question the sort of family construct and, you know, things like that. So just having people who are open to different ways of living is so important as we go into this next chapter.
Yeah. In Brighton and Hove, there is such a community of people who live life in such different ways. I know when I used to live in Walthamstow, and I know when I was there, if you went out 11 o'clock on a weekday, it just felt like, you know, you were tripping over prams left, right and centre. You know, it was a certain way of life that was being lived, you know, from certainly from my frame of reference there.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel like that where I am now. And I feel like you meet people and it's not assumed that you're doing things in a particular way.
I do feel lucky that I have got friends who I would say a significant proportion of friends who don't have children. And it does make me question, like, have I just chosen people and we all just subconsciously didn't want kids? But then in that mixture as well, there's people who are on the fence or just couldn't have them. So I think when you're doing the comparing and despairing as well, just have to remind yourself that you're comparing yourself to a very particular person who actually doesn't exist. Is it just because you're blinkered, you're only looking at that one thing, that there's people living all sorts of different lives.
Yeah.
And it's, I think my thing is I can become very obsessed with other people and how they're living and how should I be living. And it takes a lot of practice to just keep coming back to what do I want? What do I like doing? What do I want in my life? And also accepting that even managing to achieve the things you want to achieve and have great community, like, you're going to feel grief and sadness and all sorts of different emotions about different things in your life, and there's just no getting away from that. But I think what you can do is get peace of mind.
Yes.
I feel like, I don't mean productivity in the sense of like tech bros making, forcing you to have a growth mindset all the time, but I mean a sense of purpose and peace of mind and productivity. Mm-hmm. And I hate that word because I think it's been like misadopted. Is that a word? But productivity in the sense that that doesn't even have to be work. Just something where you feel like you're growing is just so important. And I think that what's happened with this news and that I've become overwhelmed by it and I've become slightly paralyzed by, like, okay, what do I do now? And I'm just working through that, which is why it's really inspiring to hear about your journeys.
Feels like a good time to ask, what do you love about your life?
Oh, that's a nice question. What do I love about my life? I love my friends, and I feel very blessed that chosen family is in my life. I feel lucky that I have a job that I don't dread going to.
I think that's as much as we can hope for.
Indeed.
With work, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. I like having a job that is so silly and fun, really. I mean, it is stressful, but compared to what lots of people are getting up to every day at work, I think that, yeah, that is pretty great. And what else do I love? Oh, I really, really, really love my nephews and my niece.
Yeah.
I really love them very deeply. And I think that's sometimes, that can be overwhelming because, like, oh, I love these little people and they're not even my children. You know, that would have been maybe a love too intense to bear.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you love? I don't think
what
about
that.
What do
I love? I love the community. That's really, you know, I could say freedom. I don't love freedom maybe in the same way that other people do, because I find that it gives me a sense of lacking purpose.
Yes, I was going to say freedom, but then I thought, I think I'm just saying that because it feels like I have to.
Yes, and that's the thing to say, yeah. I think that for me, having a feeling of purpose that is kind of unique and it feels authentic. And it's taken such a long time and a lot of therapy and changing locations and meeting different people and meeting some god-awful men and, you know, had to get there. And it's not that it's all complete. Obviously, everything's a work in progress. But I think the sense of authentic purpose is what I really love.
Yes. What about you?
I realised recently I love my own company.
Mm. Oh, that's the greatest thing that anyone could ever ask for.
I really do. I like the time that it's just like me and the dog and the garden. And I obviously like love my friends and the sort of the things I get to do. But I've also, I think, a bit of a lame answer, but a truthful answer is I love my routine. I love the way that I've kind of built certain things into my life. And that for me kind of keeps me sane. I think I need routine. I also love my job most of the time. Sometimes it really infuriates me to a level which is not okay. I shouldn't get that angry about things.
Same.
But I do, again, love being able to do something creative and get to write and all of that business. But yeah, I think recently I've really discovered that routine and my own company are things that make me very happy. And I don't think I would get easily the joy from kids in the disruption of that. I think for me that my sanity has found its happy place, and I wouldn't want to disrupt that now.
Yeah, I actually do empathize with that feeling of disruption. You think about an idealized version of something, and then the reality, you know, like when I spend time with my, well, I've got a brand new nephew, so I'm just going to say my niece and nephew, because the other one doesn't really do anything yet.
Pending
the nephew, yeah, the third one. I'm pretty knackered after I see them, and it can be a lot. And you just have to ask yourself really truthfully, especially when you're a little older, what would happen if kids arrived in my life at this point? Like, would I actually be able to deal with that? Would I instantly just be like, get out now. I can't even wee in peace. And I think that it's so often you're just taking for granted all those things you do every day that you actually love. It's so interesting you were saying routine. I didn't even think of that, but I love my routine.
Mm.
Like, I've just got into tennis over the last year and I just love playing that. And I love being able to leap off for a weekend away or go on holiday somewhere really nice. And I think sometimes those things can, you can tell yourself they feel a little hollow, but I think if you're able to have that freedom, I realize I'm doing air quotes, this is a podcast, if you're able to have freedom with a sense of purpose, what a combo.
Yeah, agreed.
That's the combo I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
And I definitely see, the next 5 years trying to go for, you talked about finding like your authentic self, which I know is a phrase that's used a lot. Makes me cringe slightly saying it, but
it's such a shame. So much language has just been like, you know, the word trauma, for example, now has so many connotations. Actually it's such an important word
it
to
is.
Be able to use when you need it.
Properly.
Or boundaries, authenticity.
Yes.
These things are all very valid. We've just been drowned and flooded in internet culture.
Yes,
but they're still valid.
They're still valid. Yeah, because ultimately it's just that peace of mind. If you've got that purpose, then I think that it's just hugely important, and it gets you away from the doom spiral of your own negative thoughts.
Mm. And this is another thing that gets repurposed. Focus on what you do have and not what you don't have. Ugh. But it's there's a lot of truth in it.
Yeah.
So
massively, because I live by myself and sometimes I'm like, oh, I'd love to live with somebody. And then you got to flip that and go, well, enjoy this because one day you might, and then you might find it really annoying and you'll think back to this point and be like, that was nice and peaceful.
I love that. Yeah, exactly.
You just have to remind yourself that you and your life is just a work in progress, and you just try and find that purpose and just do not compare and despair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just not a good way to live your life.
No.
Turn the social media off.
Turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn it off.
Exactly.
Mute everyone.
Yeah.
Go in the garden.
Yeah, just get a garden, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you ever so much,
Kate. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Really inspiring, actually. Thank
lovely
you.
To have you.
Bye.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Huge thanks to Kate for such a thoughtful conversation to kick things off. There's so many reasons people don't have kids, and over the next few weeks, we're diving into all the different perspectives on what it means to be a woman without them. Can't wait to share more with you. See you next time.
So No Kids is created by Joe Ridley and Louise Cotton, with production support from Claire Amasami, sound assistance from Ross Flight and Rich Martin, audio mastering by Edie Martin, and music by Stephen Pack. If you enjoyed this, please share.